You know what, folks? This is going to be a special day. This is going to be a special day at the communion table of the Lord. I don't ever want it to become just a ceremony with us. And yet our Bible reading isn't and our prayer isn't. We do that every single day and many times a day, and it hasn't become routine to us. I pray it isn't. But see, his table's not to be that way either. It's a very special event. And it is full of everything that we just sang about. The power, the healing, the deliverance, the salvation, the glory. It's full of every one of those things. It's full of freedom. It all belongs there. And it's in this cup that you hold in your hand. It's all there. And we're going to receive of that glory in just a few minutes. Now, tomorrow the offices will be closed. And don't forget, we have a special offering coming up in a few minutes afterwards. We're going to receive an offering to help us with our parking lot repairs. And we had a new asphalt, new striping, even in front of the Jamie building out there, the old school building, the coming new school building. And so we need help with that this month. And so we'll receive our first offering on it today. And if you haven't planned it and you're not ready for that, well, you've got another two or three Sundays in June to give. So we're going to mention that to you today, and we will receive that at the end of the service. Amen. Well, turn your Bibles with me over to a very familiar portion of Scripture. I want you to go over to Psalms 23, and I want to begin with this one verse in verse 5. Psalms 23 and verse 5 says this: You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Look at it, if it's above, and read it with me. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. In another portion of Scripture, it talks about them being his enemy. Any enemy of yours is an enemy of his. Whether it's sickness and disease or fear or lack or someone physically coming against you, if they are your enemy, they are his enemy. And David says he has prepared, he prepares a table for me. David was running from the enemy, and right in the middle of the warfare on the ground, there's a table all prepared for David, like an embassy. And none of the enemies could approach or even come in where God had prepared a table. And I tell you today that God has prepared a table for every single one of us right in the presence of your enemy. Whatever it is you're facing right now, whether it be pain or lack, or trouble at home, or trouble with your children, it just doesn't matter. He said, that's a problem to you. So if you will hear what he is saying this morning, according to the word, he says, I've already prepared you a table. Just come into the embassy and you will be safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. And a what? Safe. All right, he's still preparing a table for us today. I mean, those tables are always, always prepared for God's people. He said, just come and dine. Just come and eat. I stand at the door and knock. If you'll just open the door, John the Revelator said, if you will open the door, I will come in and sit at my table with you, and I will sup. That just means I will drink with you, and I will eat with you. All right, so let's go over to our main story today out of 1 Corinthians. Ah, yes, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Look at this, look at this. I just brought a few little simple pics today that Kathy will be showing you today. So look up now and then if you're looking at your Bibles. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Let me read this to you. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Everybody's experience. He said, you're not going through anything that everyone else in the world or anyone else in the world hasn't gone through. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation, with, look at that word with that temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, the old King James says he'll make a way of escape. He will make a way. But the new King James says he will make the way of escape. It means, listen, it means there's a way out of your mess. There's a way out of your difficulty. And there's a way out for America's craziness right now. There's a way out for everything in this life that we face. Says God is faithful, folks. He was faithful to you then. He'll be faithful now. As faithful as he's ever been, he's going to be still that faithful. And he won't allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I mean, he allowed me to be tempted beyond what I was able to do. He didn't open a door of escape for me. It was awful for me, and I backslid, and I. Well, I'm just telling you what the word promises, that if he will deliver you and not allow you to go beyond what you can stand, then that's what the word means. And it says with right alongside that temptation, right alongside temptation. What? A temptation could be a trial, a fire, a battle, depression, fear, lack, whatever it is. He says, with the sickness, disease, with that, I will make the way of escape, the way of escape. There's always an escape door. We've got exits over here in case we get in trouble. Inside, we can use that door, or if you just want to use those, you can. Just a way out. Let me read to you the meaning of the word escape. The word escape means simply the way out. Walk out. Now, these are Greek terms. The way out, walk out, and listen to this. A way to something different. You don't have to stay in that same old place. There's a way out. There's an escape door. You don't have to stay there. But some Americans, I think, are like these little dogs you have at your house. They got the little door. What do you call it? Doggy door? You see, I don't have one. They use a doggy door and they go out. That's a good thing. You love it when they go out because you don't want them to stay in the house for whatever they're thinking about. Just go out the doggy door. But then they come back in. And see, God's people sometimes go out and they play around and they don't come back in. Now, it's okay if you're messing around out there. You don't need to go out. You need to stay put. All right, well, that's another story. But look at verse 14. Look. I'm going to tell you why that temptation overcame you. If the temptation overcame you and you got caught in it and it took you out or it took you down, here's why. He says, with that temptation, I'll make a way for you to escape. You don't have to follow all the way through with that. You don't have to go back to that internet again. You don't have to go back over there. You don't have to go back to that person that's dragging you down. Verse 14, he says, therefore, since you know that I'm that kind of God and I'm faithful, and with that temptation I'll make a way for you to escape and go a different way. Therefore, since you know that, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Run from it. Don't run to it. But today, if people get upset, instead of running into God, instead of fleeing idolatry, they'll just run over to the alcohol. They'll just run over to the joint. They'll just run over to that person. They will just run over and run with carnal people they don't need to be hanging with. All kinds of things. He just said, now, therefore, since you know this, flee idolatry. You say, I don't have an idol. No, I just heard this morning I just heard this morning of a young man that I know that would come in and out. Many of you would never know who he is, would come in and out. And I just heard that he married a man the other day. He didn't have to do that. When those feelings of homosexuality and desire began to rise up in him, he could have ran to the Lord. And the Lord said, with that desire, I will make a way for you to escape. And he knew God was faithful. See, he knew God was faithful. But did he know that there was a way to escape that was only in God? There's only one door. But did he know there was a way to escape? Well, he didn't flee idolatry. He ran into it. What was his idol, Pastor? A person. A two-legged man. You can read the book of Romans if you think, Pastor, that's old-fashioned or legalistic. We'll read Romans chapter 1 and it'll tell you all about that. So anyway, he ran to it so that temptation overtook him. He didn't allow God to deliver him. Verse 15. Now, look at this. I speak to you as wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. Paul said, just judge for yourself. And I tell you that today. Just judge for yourself what I'm telling you. Because he says, I speak to wise men. So Paul is assuming that he is speaking to mature Christian adults. And he said, so judge what I'm telling you. Okay, let's go. So what is a door of escape? A door of escape? What is it? Where's our way out? How do we get out? Some of you already this morning are saying, Pastor, that's real cool and that's real good. But man, I want to know the way out. Where is my door? Here it is. Here it is. Verse 16. This is the door right here. Verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless. Look at your little cup. Pick it up. This little cup. This little cup. Sal, would you bring me one that's not open, please? So I don't spill that. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This is communion, fellowship. Let me give you the meaning of fellowship. It goes way beyond communion. Okay, again, the Greek word. Fellowship means intimate, listen, intimate participation. As with husband and wife. You husbands and wives know things about each other that nobody else knows. You have intimate relationship with each other. You say things to each other that you would not say to everybody. There's an intimate relationship between you and your spouse. And Jesus says, is this little cup, is it not communion with me? Do you not share with me? The cup of blessings which we bless, Paul says, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Oh, we just see a little juice. But it actually representing the very blood that was beaten out of Jesus' back, his head, his arms nailed out of his feet and out of his hands. The bread which we break, you have it on top there, that little piece of bread. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ, the body of a man, his strong, healthy, beautiful, powerful, altogether lovely, that body? Is it not the communion or the intimate participation, intimacy with that body, with Christ? Look at verse 17. For though we, you and me, the entire body of Christ, though we through many are one bread, though many, we are one bread, we are one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. We are partakers with that one bread. Now in John talked about, actually Jesus said himself, he said, your ancestors ate bread in the wilderness with Moses, but they're dead. But he said, the bread that came down from heaven to them was manna. But I am the bread of life. And I came down to give you life. And when you eat of my body, you're eating of me, and you receive life from me. So it says that we are many people, but really we're only one. How does that happen? People all over America are meeting in buildings just like this right now and at home. And there's people in Israel and Africa and around the world. They met already last night and yesterday, or some are going to meet tomorrow with time zone differences. But with all of those millions, billions, I pray, of people who know him, we're only one person, one body, all wrapped up in him. And we are partakers of that one bread. You say, how do we partake of him? How do we do that? And I hear somebody saying, oh, that's easy, Pastor. All we got to do is drink this little cup. Isn't that what you're telling us, Pastor? We just drink this little cup and that's it. You'll go home. Well, listen, there's a lot more to it than that. The Bible said there's only one reason that we have suffered some of the stuff we suffer, and I'll give that to you in a minute. But I want you to see what it says in verse 19. This is so powerful right here, verse 19. Paul says, what am I saying then? That an idol is, I want to read verse 18. Oh, gosh, yeah, I got to read verse 18. Look, observe Israel. After the flesh, are not those who eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? He said, just observe them. Just take a look at Israel. And see, after the flesh, they ate a lamb, and they put the lamb's blood over their doorpost. Two different things. See, some churches and some organizations, they just lump this whole thing together. Let me tell you something. Jesus did not lump this thing together. His blood was beat out of him before he was nailed on that cross, okay? We have two different things going on here, and they're both very powerful. So he said, I need you to observe Israel in the natural, because what we do in the spiritual, they did in the natural. Take a look at them. After the flesh, they ate of the sacrifice, that little lamb, and they were partakers of the altar. What's at the altar? That's any place where God is. That's his place. That's our secret place where we go to meet with him alone. I have a little book at home. I've told you about a little journal. All I write in it, all that I write down in that book, it's not a journal. It's just I'm thankful for. And one day I may be thankful for the cup of coffee I had that morning. It was so good. Sometimes I thank him. Thursday I was thanking him for the service we had Wednesday night. This morning I simply wrote, Lord Jesus, I am thankful for my secret place where just you and I meet together all alone. Nobody around us. Every single morning, every single night. And if I'm going to go meet with somebody, if I have something to do, if I have a decision to make, right back in there before I go out. See, I could sit anywhere in my home because I live alone. But no, I want that secret place. So make sure you have one. So, see, that's the altar. That's where I pick up the open door, Lynn. That's where the door is opened. It's opened at the altar. That's where the power is. That's where the healing is. That's where the blessing is. That's where the power is. That's where everything's at. And he said, if Israel ate a natural lamb, and they survived 40 years in the wilderness, and they put the blood of that little lamb over the doorpost, and the death angel couldn't even come near, then don't you think you ought to pay attention to that, Paul said? He said, so just observe them and look at the power of when they partook of that little lamb, when they put it inside their body and they ate the roasted lamb and they ate all of it. And the Bible says they ate it in the evening. It was all a picture of what Jesus was going to do. So he said they were partakers of the altar. All right, look at verse 19. So what am I saying then, that an idol is anything? Oh, no. Or what is offered to idols, is that anything? People around the world are offering up things to Allah. people who pray and pull their little rugs out. I was in the airport not too long ago, and there was a lady. I went in the chapel to pray, and there was a lady. We were up at, in the Colorado airport. It was a layover. I thought, well, I'll go in there and pray. Every time I go there, I go into that little chapel. And so this lady came in, and she opened up a little chest, and she got her little rug out, and she laid that rug out and began to pray to Allah. So it's all right. I didn't care if she was praying too. I knew who I was praying to. And I knew he was listening to me. My God was paying attention. So he says, idols are nothing. And if you offer up a prayer to an idol, what's that? That's nothing too. And if you refuse to eat food that's offered to idols, what is that? Paul is saying, what am I saying? None of that matters. But everything matters with this Lamb of God. When John said, behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. All right, so look at verse 20. Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than him? He says there's only one table. And there's only one cup. And there's only one way of escape, church. There's only one way out. And that's him. He said, Jesus himself said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and without me there is no life. The world is dying, and God does not want us to die with them. They think they have a life, but in reality, in what I just read you, they don't have a life. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And that's the only way you have life, is through him. That's it. So if we're partakers of this, which is his body and his blood, then we are partakers of the altar. Now look, after we do this, don't go home and drink the devil's cup of fear. Drink this cup. Don't go home and drink the cup of depression. Only drink out of one cup. Don't go home and drink worry and strife from the devil, because as soon as you get home, I promise you, the devil's going to offer you his cup. Don't take it, Lyndall. You'll like it. I promise. He'll offer you everything. He'll try to get you to drink this. And I'm going to tell you right now, when he starts messing with our mind, with fear and depression, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen, and you won't get out of that mess, you drink that on down, I'm telling you, it's hard to find a way of escape. This is it. There's no other. Now, there is a table of the Lord, and there's a table of demons. I won't elaborate on this, but I think I'll tell you right here because it's been years since I told it. But Laney and Doyle and I were headed to a gospel concert we were going to do somewhere here in California. And while we were on the way, I was looking out the window, and I saw out in the field, there, I had an open vision. And I saw what I finally knew in just about 2 hours. I found out it was these tables that I saw. I saw two tables. Holy Spirit, help me to remember. And on one table, they were long, long, long tables. And the one table, it had little saucers, like little plates. And in this plate, there was a little cake that was about this tall. It was the most beautifully decorated white cake. It was beautiful. And beside it, there was only a fork. You didn't need a knife. There was just a fork. And there was a goblet. And it had hard alcoholic wine in it, hard wine. And then the name appeared right there, a little placemat, and the name didn't appear until they sat down. And then there was no tablecloth on the table, and the napkin was full of holes. It was like a lacy napkin. If you spread that over your lap, it would not have protected you. If you spilled something on you, it would have just went onto your clothes. That's what that one table was. Oh, and the chairs were just regular sit-down chairs, but they were wobbly. and it looked like the people were going to fall. Well, they picked up that knife, and they started to eat of that cake. And when they cut that fork into that cake, I remember seeing the most ugly, grayish corruption. It was just the ugliest, nastiest stuff that began to run out of that beautiful little cake. And I remember the faces. They tasted and went, but then they put the fork back and did it again. And before it was over, and then they're laughing and talking and having a great time. And suddenly all kinds of stuff appeared on the table. And the stuff that was on the table, I can tell you right now, was not very nice. And I'm not going to tell you. But it went farther than many of them that sat down first thought that they would ever go what was spread on that table. But then there was the other table. And on that table, there was a red tablecloth. And the cloth fell way down low. And when you sat at this cloth, sat at the table, there were big captain chairs. And they were strong. And they held you. And you would sit down. And you could rest your arms on the arms. And the red tablecloth would fall down over your lap. And then this napkin, I noticed, the people picked up the napkin, and it looked like it had been drenched in oil. And when they took that oil and they put it on their lap, the oiled napkin sat over the top of the tablecloth. And the Lord said, that red tablecloth is the covering of my blood. I looked into the plates and I couldn't see anything at first. And then I saw a bunch of letters, just scattered letters like Scrabble. All kinds of little letters in that plate. But you needed the knife. And immediately, the Holy Spirit was just interpreting as we went along. And they picked up the knife and the fork, and they so carefully cut those letters. And they were cutting the letters. Holy Spirit said, they're rightly dividing the Word of God. They would rightly divide the Word and then pick it up with their fork and put it in their mouth. Some of those people that went to that table didn't look very robust. Some of them looked very sick. And they looked worn out. And they were tired. And they didn't know what was going on in their bodies. And they were hurting. And they didn't know what was going on in their minds. And you could see a little fear. And yet they sat there and they kept cutting up this word. And I tried to look in the cup and I heard it's always just the pure water of the Word. It's just the pure water of the Word. And they would eat this Word and then drink the pure water. And then at each placemat, there was no name there. It just said, whosoever will. Whosoever. And then there was a helmet. And after they ate, they put the helmet on their heads. And when they walked out of there, they may have walked in weaklings, but they walked out like mighty men and women of God. They walked out full of faith and full of power. Well, you know, I think Rick and Jamie had just passed, so I'm probably 36, 37, just a young girl getting started in the ministry. Been singing for years, but now ministering. And so I went and laid my head on the pastor's desk. Pastor said, Paulette, you can go on in my office if you want and get alone while they're setting everything up. So I got alone with the Lord and I laid my head on his pastor's desk and on my Bible. I said, Lord, I think that was an open vision. I'm pretty sure it was. But I need to back it up by the Word. Because, see, Peter said, even if an angel comes to you telling you things, make sure you can back it up with the Word. The Holy Spirit, as my witness this morning, and Sarah was there. Of course, she wouldn't have known whether I knew this or not. But I opened up my Bible right to this verse in verse 21 that said, you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Now, church, we are at the table of the Lord today, and we're even going to come deeper to the table of the Lord. Some of you already visited him at home before you got here. So you sit at his table constantly. I mean, This is the only table you know in your life right now. But if some of you in this house right now, under the sound of my voice, Paul said, what am I saying? Well, what am I saying? I'm saying you better keep your little hips right there at this table. Because if you don't, you start visiting those other tables. Those are tables of demons. And can I tell you, demons do not play. Remember, my brothers used to play marbles. And they played a game called for keeps. And the devil plays for keeps. Once he gets you, he don't want to let you go. Except Jesus said, no, no, no. I've got a way of escape for you. If you do get over here and get caught, he said, you never have to stay. Because I know how to get you back. You just walk out the door. You still got that door? I still got the door. You can just walk right out. This is it. This is the door. Hallelujah. Woo! Only one cup. Somebody say it. One table. One cup. Don't ever forget that, church. In fact, please get that verse in your heart. Please get that verse so you'll know exactly where it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Make sure you keep that. Jesus separated, church. I'm going to go over to chapter 11. You can go over to chapter 11. Just turn the page. Now look, here's something very, very important. Jesus' body was totally tore up, black and blue. No, it was worse than black and blue. It was bleeding. Some of you saw the passion of the Christ, and that doesn't even say what went on. It doesn't even say what went on. But listen, with this table over here, it's not a safe place. The world is not a safe place. Young people, listen to me. You young people, the world is not safe. Don't go out there and play. Don't even go over there and mess with their stuff. It's not worth it. The only safe place is this table, and there's always an escape door. There's no excuse for you to go under with the mess that's messing with you right now. Jesus said, if we had time to cover all these, well, I'll read it in red. I wasn't going to read this, but please put it down. Verse 11, if you can get it, Kathy. Verse 11, 24, Jesus' own words. I just want to show you how he separated the two. They're both important. One's for your body so you can get healing in your body, and the other's for you, your forgiveness and your transgression so you can walk free of sin. Okay? So verse 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So that's what we're going to do this morning, is remember him. Now, in verse 25, he changes from his body and talks about the second thing. Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken. I mean, when Jesus said his body was broken, he was speaking of it lightly. It was busted. All right, verse 25. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant, new promise, new promise. You're not under the law. It's a new promise. In my blood, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this, what? What? Look at verse 26. As often as you eat this and you drink this, is that two different things? But it's still him. It's still his entire body. It's his blood, and it's his body. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes back. And then he said, when we all get together again, first thing we're going to do. It was the last thing he did with the disciples, but it's the first thing he's going to do at the marriage supper of the Lamb when we get there, is have communion with us again. Amen? Okay, so let's just go down, and we'll start closing here. Verse 27 is so powerful. My daddy had this all wrong, and I've told you that before. My daddy thought he was not worthy to take communion, so I suppose he never took communion in his life. And I am so sorry that he didn't. I don't know one of my pastors or somebody didn't know enough to tell him. Talk to him about it. Well, here would have been verse 27 if I'd have known this as a little girl. Verse 27. Therefore, whosoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy what? Manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. It didn't say an unworthy man. It didn't say an unworthy woman. It said, don't do this in an unworthy manner. Don't just take it, que sera, sera, let's go, Pastor, we got to go home. Oh, that's unworthy manner. Don't eat it like you don't know it doesn't have healing in it. See, we walk by faith every day of our lives. Woo, don't you ever get, I love faith. I mean, I'm glad I have it, but sometimes I get tired of it. I want to walk by sight. We get to heaven, we're going to walk by sight, but this is one of the little things we get to see and hold in our hands and take into our bodies. One of the few things we get to see a little prayer cloth too and what it represents. That we do get to have this and walk by faith and hold it. All right, so Jesus said, don't do it unworthily. Understand what you're doing. Understand you don't have to walk in sins and understand that you can be totally healed. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself and so let him eat of the bread and the drink and drink the cup. So he said, now examine yourself. Make sure you know. And listen to me, church. If you are not saved this morning and you want no part of it, I doubt that you would be here if you wanted no part of it. If you didn't believe, you probably wouldn't be here. But if you were not saved and you're going to go home back to the devil's table, just put the cup down. If I were you, I'd just put it down. Just leave it alone. It's not for you. It's for people who are intimate with him, who love him, who live with him, and are know what you're doing. He said, know what you were doing. Understand. Eat in the right manner. Eat it in the right manner. Okay, verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Discern it. No. You don't have to have judgment. You can be free of your sin. There's a way of escape out of your sin. You don't have to go back to that. Verse 30, look at this. Now, we're not going to like this. We are not going to like this next verse. But it says, for this reason, many are sick, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Many are dead, maybe early. Many are sick. He said, why? Because we ate in an unworthy manner. What's the one reason he gives you? For this reason, one reason. I can't change the word, folks. I can't change it. He says you're putting up with a lot of stuff you don't have to put up with because you're eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. But ask the Holy Spirit to help us. I'm talking about myself too. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me in my weaknesses, in my transgressions, in my body parts, in my knees. Help me. For this reason, if you could only get it, he said, the power of my blood and my broken body. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Look at verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. See, I told you the world was dying, going to hell. He said, I don't want you to be judged with the world. You stay out of the world. You don't belong there. You're separated. We're sanctified. That means set apart. So we don't go there. They're dying. He said, I don't want you to die with them. Oh, yeah. We're not going to eat and drink in an unworthy manner. Churches, see how beautiful and kind and strong and gracious and loving and merciful, faithful. And the door he is, but he is the door. He is the door of the sheep. Here's how much confidence he has in us. He said, my sheep know my voice. Chapter 10, John chapter 10. My sheep know my voice. And he says, listen, another they will not follow. They won't even follow anybody else. He has more confidence in us than we have in ourselves. What is he saying? Just stay at my table, baby. Just stay at my table. Just know what you're doing when you partake of this morning. Because I'm going to tell you something. If we will eat in a worthy manner this morning, do you know that this could be a day of miracles in this house? I mean a mighty day of miracles. just by eating worthily and saying, Jesus, okay, I got it. I think. I'll receive it, Lord. I receive it by faith. Holy Spirit, help me. I receive your body. I receive your blood. Remember when Peter was walking on the water and he fell in the water? Jesus reached down his hand to him and pulled him up. My dad and his brother used to sing in the old church, when he reached down his hand for me. I found that beautiful picture of his hand reaching down to get Peter. And I said, Lord, that's what you did for each one of us. You just reached and picked us up. And he said, yes, and stay at my table. But if you wander off, I have a way of escape. Tell him with that problem, I have a way to escape. Now, in Romans chapter 4, the very last verse of Romans chapter 4 tells you why he did this. It says he was delivered up. Why? Because of our offenses, our sins, all of the mess that you and I have created. He was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Because he wanted to make us righteous. He said, okay, I took all the sickness and disease so that your body could be healed. I took it on my strong and mighty body that you may walk free. And I became sin. I took all your sins so that you could be justified and be the righteousness of God. Church, listen, he wants us to be absolutely, literally, 100% whole. That's why God sent Jesus to us. I wonder why the Father didn't just send him to the cross. I mean, just let him go straight to the cross. Why did he have to stop and take a beating at the whipping post? Why did he have to carry that ugly cross? Why did Simon have to come and help him carry it? Why couldn't he just go straight and not have to take such a beating and lacerations for us? Well, we just read it. He said, I did it because of you. Read it in the other translations. That's amazing. The last verse of Romans chapter 4. Read it in the other chapters, other translations. He said, I want you whole in your body. I want you healed all the way down. Your brain, your bloodstream, your heart, your lungs, your ankles, your knees, your hips, your back, your pancreas, your stomach, AFib, anything you got going on in your heart, esophagus. I want everything. I don't want blood clots. I don't want blood veins, varicose veins. I don't want neck issues, shoulder issues, rotator cuff issues. I don't want any of that. I just want you whole. He said, I just want you whole. Just eat worthily with this. I don't want your soul healed. I want your emotions. I don't want your emotions all up and down and crazy all the time. I don't want your emotions like going up here on cloud 9 and then crashing and burning. I want your body healed, your soul literally healed, and your spirit, where your spirit just says, even Stephen, and climbs up higher and higher and rises higher with him. Church, this is a way of escape. We're going to keep our eyes literally on Jesus and on his cross. As I've got a picture of it today, but as we are partaking, look, if we went over to Acts chapter 20, you could see where the disciples broke bread every week. Some places we can see where there's a debate, theological debate, how they went from house to house daily and broke bread. But some said it was they were just having dinner together because it said they fellowshiped. I don't know whether they did every day, but I know they did every week. We do once a month. He said as often as you do it. He really didn't tell us when. He said as often as you do it. We do it once a month. Last Sunday of the month. So would you come to his table today and receive the door, receive the great escape? Stand with me as the music team comes. Lendl, you guys can either come or you can stay, whatever you decide. But keep your eyes on Jesus right now. Begin to open your element. See, God wants everything in his order. And that means healing and deliverance and holiness and righteousness and intimacy with his people. He wants people living in his word and in communication with him. It just makes life so much easier, folks, to do it that way. I'm just going to ask you to pick up the bread. I'm not going to elaborate a lot. I already have. And I'm going to ask you to show that. Can you get the picture of him on the cross? Why is he there? Why? He said, because of our offenses. Why was he beaten like that? For your healing, Dee. Mike, that's why you got up off the bed. Ken, that's why you're going to be all right. Wanda, that's why you walk in divine health. See, divine health is better than healing. I mean, I love healing. I love miracles, but I'd rather walk in divine health. And that's what he's saying. I want you to walk in absolute divine health. So would you eat this today for your thyroid, for your esophagus, for your back, for my knees, for help at school, boys and girls, for help with your grandchildren, Sherry? Would you eat this, Lloyd, for your body? Yeah, I know you will. Trudy, for whatever, honey. We all got something. We all have something. And with it, with that, he said, I have a way for you to escape. Let me read the way again, what that means, the escape. The escape means the way out. He says, I have the way out of that. And you can walk out. And I've got a way for you to do something different. How many of you just want to do something different today? May this be the very last day that you deal with that thing. May it be the very last day in Jesus' name. Could we close our eyes for just a minute and examine ourselves and say, Jesus, wash me clean. I receive you as Lord. You're my Lord. You're mine, Jesus. I will sit at your table. Tell him, I will sit at your table and drink your drink. I love you, Jesus. All right, as you're looking upon him today, as you're looking at that bloody body on that bloody cross, eat the body. Eat his body for whatever it is you need help with. Come on, eat his body on that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your other hand and say, thank you, Jesus, for your healing. Come on, we ate worthily today. Thank you, Jesus, for healing me in my mind, in my emotions, in my heart, in my legs. Come on, my ankles, where I hurt. Where my sin is, I'm getting ready to drink. Look at that blood that was running down. See, in the Hebrew, in Isaiah 53, where it says, by his stripes you are healed, it actually is the word stripe. One stripe. By his stripe you are healed. Though he had 39. And many have said over the years that there are 39 major diseases, and all the other diseases stem off of those 39 major diseases. And Jesus took 39 stripes. But when the Hebrew says, by his stripe, that one stripe, I wonder if that meant your stripe. I wonder if that meant my stripe. Just for me, just for you. take that strike this morning, that temptation that does so easily upset you, as the Hebrews writer said. Jesus, you said with that temptation, you would make a way of escape. You did this. You were nailed up there on that bloody cross. It wasn't bloody until you got there. It was bloody because of your bloody body. But you did that, that we might become righteous. And you took our offenses that we might be clean. We drink, Lord, not to get forgiven, but because we are forgiven. That's why we drink. In Jesus' name, let your church say amen as you drink worthily of Jesus' blood. Yes, Lord.
There's freedom in the name.
Would you lift up your hands and just worship Him? Come on, thank Him for healing you. Thank Him for healing you. Delivering us. Thank Him for the door. Yes, He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to Him once more and just say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Not one of you are here on accident today. Every one of you were here on purpose to partake and take in the blood and the body of Jesus into you. You may have said, Pastor, I do this every day at home. I don't care. But there was an anointing upon it this day. Lord, may we leave here a different way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat for just a moment. Hallelujah. I've already told you, we've mentioned it a few times about our special offering for our asphalt. Again, it cost us $21,000. Actually, I think it was up to $22,000 because we had to do some extra stuff out there by the school building. So we're just going to ask you to give a sacrificial gift this month. Some of you may have already given. Some of you are giving today. Some will give later on. So whatever it is, if you have an offering today you want to bring to the basket, would you come and bring it? And then you, I'll bless you right now. Stand back up with me. And you can get your offering ready. We so appreciate everything that you do for your church and give to God's house. Father, you know we get to stay up with your sanctuary. Lord, we love this place you've given us. You gave us this acreage. It had nothing on it, Lord. It had no water, electricity, nothing. But, Lord, you blessed the city to give us favor and approved everything. You blessed us with builders, Lord, that brought this place to us. And, Father, you have blessed us to maintain it over the years. So, Lord, we're thankful for that which we have, and we have given together to keep everything in order. Today, we bless the parking lot to keep it up and make sure that your house is perfect and with excellence in Jesus' name. Amen? Well, the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine on you. May he be gracious to you and be blessed, church, as you go your way. May his countenance shine upon you and give you peace in your home, your life, your family. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.